from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Welcome to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host for this segment, Anna Henderson. Today, Neil Pillai joins me in studio. He joined YPG in 2024 as part of the Army Fellows Program after graduating college. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Well, thank you for being here. You're from the DC area and you graduated from the University of Virginia with a master's in statistics.
Yes.
Then you joined the Fellows Program at YPG, which is similar to an internship. Can you tell us about the program?
The Army Fellows Program is really a 2 years of a developmental role, followed by 2 years of a service commitment in the Army. They call it an internship, but it's more of you spend 2 years as a full-time employee, and it's really a good way to learn and develop soft skills or technical skills as part of the role. And I was hired on as a data scientist after I graduated from the University of Virginia. So it was really a great opportunity. I just want to thank my boss, Richard Hernandez, our CDAO, our Chief Data and Analytics Officer, for giving me this chance. And Patricia Conley, our intern coordinator in the Human Resources Directorate, for advocating for the Fellows Program and a lot of other internship programs that we have.
Can you tell me the application process and also what inspired you to apply?
Yes, of course. As I finished college, I actually graduated from University of Virginia in December of 2023. And I was really looking for a role where I could broaden and complement my skill set. So, as someone who studies statistics, a lot of what they teach is more tailored around how do you fit models, how do you use machine learning models and analyzing data sets that are usually curated for you beforehand, and then you could make predictions and decisions with that, with those findings. But what was really appealing to me for YPG was that there's such a vast array of different types of data. The data is produced and collected and analyzed all in the same place, which is pretty rare for a large organization like YPG. And so just being able to get that opportunity to deal with not only just data sets as in like a tabular format, but looking with videos, audio data, other types of data that we collect here on downrange, plus a lot of the efforts that I'm involved in my day-to-day role relies with setting up the whole infrastructure to support mass data collection, storage, and analysis, and how do we share it amongst different people, not just within YPG, but within the larger command and to customers. So that was just a whole new experience for me, and it's something that would make me a better data scientist and allows me to see that entire data lifecycle from how data is generated to being collected to how it's being shared and produced and ultimately analyzed for a decision to be made. So it was a really good opportunity for them.
And data is what we do here. We test and we collect data.
So absolutely.
You had a ton of work to do. Where are some of the other places that you gained experience and some of the projects that you helped with?
Yeah, so I'm currently working with our safety directorate to modernize a lot of how their data collection processes, sharing, and reporting capabilities are. But I've had, over the past 2 years, I've had a lot of different experiences too. So I've worked with our, my boss is Richard Hernandez, the Chief Data and Analytics Officer. He's really the person to thank for allowing me to have this opportunity, taking a chance on hiring me out from all the way from the East Coast. And so he's been someone who's given me a lot of opportunities throughout my career. First, starting off with creating Power BI reports on test activity. Then it later progressed to understanding and documenting a lot of how the testing process works, being involved in the Data Literacy 101 course, which is a course where we teach the workforce at YPG on basically why is data powerful? Why do we collect data? And why is data such a valuable tool for us to use to make decisions? And then I would say all of my experiences with those, plus collaborating with various analysts across different departments here at YPG, has led me to now being able to understand the business a lot better and now I'm working on helping safety. So I've also built an app for us to take our safety training. It's currently live, and it is currently supporting taking SAW training. So it was a great experience for me to do that. And so far, we've had a lot of positive reviews, and people seem to be really happy with it.
And the SAW training you mentioned, which is our safety awareness training, is mandatory required training for YPG employees because, you know, safety is first. And so that's amazing that you were able to help with something that's so important, and everybody that works on post needs it.
It's a monthly training requirement. And one of the things that we wanted to improve was improve the ease of taking it to make it such that people who need to take it, who only have 5 minutes in a day before they go downrange to be able to take their SAW training, or people who work more in an office type setting, to make it easy for them to conduct the training, to complete the training, and as well as for us to collect the data and report on the data.
You recently had an outbrief. I heard you did a great job. Can you tell us about that outbrief?
Yeah, so the outbrief presentation, so really for all interns, Army Fellows is just one type of intern that we have. But at the end of the developmental period, all of us have to give a presentation, which we call an outbrief. So really what that comprises is we present to our senior most leaders plus our immediate team. So I was able to present to the commander. So this was just before change of command. So it was Colonel Nelson at the time, the Sergeant Major, Lieutenant Colonel Hicks, and then our Technical Director, Ross Gwynn, Chief of Staff, Omar Silva, and then my immediate team comprised of the CDAO and the two deputy CDAOs. It was a great experience. So I was able to present to them and some immediate team members of mine from the safety director and other analysts that I've worked with closely. And so really what I wanted to showcase was a lot of my efforts with the data literacy course, with the safety app, with a lot of the Power BI reports that I've produced and some of the documentation that I've done. But primarily what the goal of the outbrief is to explain why the program is so valuable and a lot of the skills that I've learned. So a lot of the things that I mentioned in the outbrief was that the program really was it's been a great way for me to, I guess, get started with a career. I would say coming from an academic setting as a college student, it's very, I guess one could say that the requirements and the steps for being successful as a college student is rather straightforward. You go to class on time, you do your homework, you study, and you take exams, and if you do well, it's a very linear path. However, in a career setting, it's very different. That path kind of has to be forged by one. So that was a great transition for me to do that, where I had a mentor in Richard and then a mentor in Patty Conley, as well as many other people that I've worked with. So I would say all those experiences helped me with understanding. I learned essentially from all of them how the business works and what it takes to be successful. I would say that I've kind of taken a lot of those lessons from that, the soft skills from that, plus a lot of the training that the Army Fellow Program does have to offer us. Most of that is usually in leadership, in communication, and project management. And those skills plus my technical skills that I've acquired through my 2 years here at YPG has been really valuable for me to continue my career.
That's what my next question was going to be. Who has impacted you during these last 2 years?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of people. So honestly, the YPG community has been so welcoming, and they've really helped me out in getting my footing here. But if I can name a few people, I would start off with Richard, our CDAO. Really just, I thank him for everything, essentially. A lot of the opportunities that he's provided me, a lot of opportunities to grow, to challenge myself. And he's taught me how the business is run and what it takes to be successful here. But if I could name other people too, Patty Conley for her advocacy for the Army Fellows Program, and then the various analysts that I've worked with and test officers that I worked with over in M&W. And I would say, of course, the safety office.
Now this opportunity has landed you an official government position. Where will you be using your talents now that you're official?
Yes, so I'm happy to say that I will be staying at YPG. So tomorrow, actually, believe it or not, is my 2 year anniversary. So I'll be an official DA civilian, and I will continue working with the CDAO group as I have been thus far. And I'm just really excited to continue this chapter and continue my journey here.
Now, one thing I noticed and admired about you is that your willingness to try new experiences. Some of those experiences include volunteering to help during the pronghorn gather, which I got to witness, and you did an amazing job.
It was a fun experience for sure. Yeah. Thanks.
You also helped judge projects at the Yuma County Fair, and you appeared in the range safety video. So you're all over this installation. Tell me about those experiences and really what motivates that involvement.
Yeah, so I would say that I stumbled upon these honestly by chance. So I can go through each one of them and kind of explain really quick how I got to do those. So for the pronghorn capture, I found out that there was going to be a pronghorn capture in December of 2025. So I happened to sign up with a few of my colleagues. Anna was one of them. And we went down to the COFO Wildlife Refuge, and we got to essentially help capture pronghorns, medically monitor them, and really ultimately release them. My particular role was to carry one of the stretchers. So me and another volunteer would carry the stretcher with a pronghorn basically like wriggling around and just wiggling and trying to escape. But we had to do a, it's a little bit difficult at times to carry them and to take them to this one station to get medically cleared. But it was a lot of fun, and something coming from the DC area, like, it was something I never would have imagined my wildest dreams of doing. But hey, look at me now. It was something I don't think I'll ever forget that. It's very memorable for sure. But then as far as other experiences like this range safety video, that was something that stumbled by chance as I was working with the safety directorate. And so I work with one of the safety specialists, Scott Venstermacher. And he has been working a lot with public affairs for creating the safety training videos. And he was also involved with helping for the range safety video. So I took part in doing like an interview with one of our range controllers to provide the perspective of a new employee who doesn't go down range very much, which I very much fit that criteria.
And then how did you help at the Yuma County Fair? I mean, that is one of the biggest events in Yuma. And kids are showcasing all of their work. So what was your role in judging?
So I work with one person who is he and his family for multiple generations, in fact, have been heavily involved in 4-H. And so he just contacted me one day and said, do you want to judge at the fair? And I said, of course, I'd love to. I judged the 4-H other events. So really what that was were elementary, middle, and high school age children who built like Lego structures, sewing, crafting, woodworking, leatherwork. There was even one person who built a gas-powered, like a gas-powered motorcycle. So I had to judge that too. And it was a really cool experience for sure. And just, you know, getting to interview the kids and asking them how they built their stuff. And it was a cool experience for sure.
And Neil, I just want to say congratulations on your new official position. And also thank you for what you do for the Army here at YPG.
Oh, thank you. It's really been an honor to work here and to be able to help support our servicemen and women. And it's, you know, I would say that the mission is very critical, and being able to provide the best and most reliable data for ultimately making good data-driven decisions for fielding certain equipment and helping keep our soldiers safe and to win our wars. So I'm really excited and really honored, and frankly, to be part of that effort.
Welcome to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host for this segment, Anna Henderson. Today, joining me in the studios is U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground's new fire chief. He was named in the position in May of 2026. Welcome, Chief Matthew Kelly.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Congratulations on being selected as chief.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You are very familiar with YPG. Tell the listeners about your career with YPG, because you are now in your fourth role here.
I am, yeah. So about 5 years ago, middle of COVID and everything, I came on board as actually a temp in the training chief position with the fire department. I was elated for that. I love the training chief role within the fire department. You have a lot of flexibility, a lot of autonomy, and you get to play. You're setting up for teaching the guys how to do a lot of different skills, and it's neat, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great position. Shortly after coming here, though, I was an Air Force reservist at the time, and I got mobilized to the Middle East, and so my time actually serving in that position was cut short a little bit as I was mobilized to the Middle East. I spent 8 months over in the Middle East while I was assigned here. So in the middle of all that, then I was actually had the opportunity to move over to the assistant chief of operations position. And that was, again, a lot of fun for me. The fire department is made up of a lot of different roles, and each one of them is unique to me. Whether you're the youngest firefighter in the position, you're the senior captain, you're the one that knows every nook and cranny about the installation, or you're in one of these chief positions, kind of helping to drive the ship or drive the chain, so to speak. They're all a lot of fun. Shortly after that, then I was able to be selected as the deputy fire chief. And that brought on a whole new role, because in that position, you're really in charge of operations. You're really in charge of the team that is making the daily happen. And that's been a lot of fun for the last 3 years. And then the opportunity came to apply for the chief position. And so I had to give it my best. And I'm happy to be here today.
How long did you serve as interim?
I was interim. The previous fire chief wound up stepping out with some leave and some other things, right? Along with the DRP and all the things we went through with 2025. So I've actually been doing it about a year now.
And you mentioned this a little bit already, but you come with a wealth of experience. It all started in the Air Force, where you both served active duty and as a reservist. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So total, I did about 26 years, just over 26 years of service with the Air Force Reserves. My first 10 years was actually active duty. I started off at Luke Air Force Base. Actually, the short story of that is I joined as a eager 18, 19-year-old kid and was like, I'm going to get away from home. I grew up in Glendale, Arizona. That didn't take any of my overseas locations, and it sent me right back to Luke Air Force Base. I couldn't have gotten any closer if I wanted to. And so I did my first 4 years at Luke. I wound up going overseas for 4 years. I did a long tour over in Japan. I supported the PACAF mission over there, a couple deployments in there. A lot of great training, a lot of great people along the way. I blinked, 10 years went by. I made the decision to leave active duty for family reasons, but I couldn't get away from it. So I stayed on as an Air Force reservist, quickly worked my way up to E9. Not quickly, because it was 26 years, but looking back, it was a blink. It was a great time, and I'm so happy I did it.
And we're happy to have someone with this wealth of experience here. Let's talk about YPG and the fire department and its unique role in providing service to not only the YPG community, but also the surrounding areas. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's really complex. We're a lot different than, let's say, our police partners, right? They have jurisdictional boundaries and other legal things that that allow them to do their business or restrain them from doing some of their business. As a fire emergency services, our boundaries are almost limitless, but we don't want to just freelance either. We don't want to be just rolling up and down Highway 95, running on all the car accidents. So we have what's called mutual aid agreements, and we have pre-arranged agreements with our surrounding partners, whether it's DPS on the highway, Martinez Lake, Fisher's Landing, Hidden Shores, or even YCSO, you know, on Martinez Lake Road or IDR Road. We've got mutual aid agreements with Rural Metro Fire that comes out and does a lot of stuff with us. So our abilities to really run and provide services to our community is very wide. It's almost limitless, right? We do what's called a community risk assessment and standard of coverage. We look at from inside the installation to outside the installation. And we try to take a look at what are the risks to the community and how can we serve those. So, for example, one of the things I pushed about a year ago, I pushed a survey out across YPG workforce, and I wanted to know who was driving on Highway 95. Now, statistically, I was never great in high school, high school and college. You know, why am I going to need all this math stuff? Well, I put it to use. I got greater than 10% back on our workforce, which gave me a great sampling on who's driving on Highway 95, what section of Highway 95 they're driving on, what section of IDR they're driving on, and what section of Martinez Lake Road they're driving on. It actually proved the concept that during the business day, it's more than likely if there's a traffic accident out there, it's one of our own. And so it supports when I go to leadership and I say, hey, it's valid that we're running outside the gate on these public roadways and providing this service because there's nobody else out here. You know, you get on an accident north of mile marker 50, it's going to take Rural Metro a good 35, 45 minutes before they get out there. We're 10 minutes away. So we've got a lot of great relationships within the community. I'm really excited to strengthen those community and our bonds and the things that we do with our community partners. And I think we're going to be able to take the department to a whole nother level.
And speaking of that, now that you're chief, what do you hope to bring to the department? And also talk a little bit about your leadership philosophy.
Yeah, so my leadership philosophy, that'll lead into kind of where I'm wanting to go with the department. I look at people, processes, and programs, and in that order, right? Three Ps. And I didn't make this up, so please, anybody that's listening that wants to write it down, feel free. So I focus on people. I grow people because if I can grow one person, and then I grow another person, and eventually I've grown all my people, I've grown the organization. And so by investing in them one person at a time, I'm growing the organization. Processes are about repeatable success. So if processes are broken or processes are not working, we have to change the process to make sure our people are successful every single time. And then programs are just for, like I said, I was never a good mathematician in school, right? But now that I'm an adult, I'm looking at statistics, analytics, probabilities. I'm looking at all kinds of different risk analysis. That's what programs are for me. It helps us identify our gaps on where our weaknesses are and where we can improve. So people, processes, and programs in that order every time, that's what I'm looking at. So as I'm looking at that then, I'm looking at not only growing my individual staff, right? I'm looking at how do I make them better? How do I get training for them that will enhance their capabilities? We've got a lot of awesome people. I've got paid paramedics on staff. We're a rare agency in that we're an Army organization that runs our own ambulances. That's not a normal thing across the Army. So we've got paid paramedics that are running ambulances, and we bring the service level to you. That's all about looking at that community risk assessment that I talked about. And then now where I'm looking at going with it is how do I enhance my staff? How do I better prepare them to provide a better level of service to the community? Just like we were talking about, right? I did the statistics, right, to try to figure out who's driving on our roadways. I now have data to back up why we're doing what we're doing. And so it could be anything from, you know, trying to add more paid paramedic positions. One of the big things is the Army looks at hazmat, right? Do we have what's necessary for YPG? When was the last hazmat that we ever had on YPG? And then look at what's the return on investment. You know, if I spend $1 million on hazmat suits, I don't have any data on the last time we ran a hazmat call. But you know what? I know the last time we ran a medical call. I know the last time we ran a structural call. So you kind of have to take a look at the agency overall. And again, if I apply that, my principles of people, processes, and programs, I can figure out where to make the agency better. Right? On the individual sides, and then strengthen it from the inside out. So I'm really looking forward, you know, going back to the MOUs. Historically, YPG's only had about 8 MOUs. I'm looking at taking it way beyond that. Everybody's familiar with the fires in the Colorado River Basin. They're what we call an indirect threat, meaning there's no time that we're ever going to have a wildland on YPG property that's going to threaten our residents. But it's an indirect threat because we've got all these hot ash and embers then that are falling on YPG property. And, you know, like, for example, the trailer park area, they're very cautious about embers falling because their units can go up really, really quick. So our ability to work with BLM and do what's called urban interface. So we're not wildland prepared. We go out with what I call big water. We've got 3,000 gallons on wheels. I mean, who else has got that, right? So you've got BLM who has the know-how on how to go out and cut line and stop the fire where it's at. And if they need, then I got 3,000 gallons on wheels that I'll bring to them and help them, whether it's protecting structures. One of the fires last year, we had a crew up on Martinez Lake. We weren't there for the Martinez Lake assets. We were up there for the Cibola wildlife assets. And those crews actually saved those structures because the fire burned right up to them. And we were able to use big water to knock it down and make sure we protected those assets. Now, when we look at it overall, that's not an Army asset, but that's a federal government asset that's out there. So enhancing these MOUs, trying to strengthen what we're bringing to the community and really getting a broader perspective for our community risk assessment, we're going to be able to do some great things in the future.
It does sound like you have a good plan moving forward. And really, we're fortunate here at YPG and surrounding areas to have someone with your experience that's leading the department. So again, Chief, congratulations on your position, and also thank you for what you do for the Army here at YPG.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.